Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 476. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Yeah, I'm here. And Jeff isn't that influential.
But Jeff is here.
Hello!
Not
476, guys. We've almost reached my cholesterol level.
I don't know. I think we still got a ways to go.
I don't know. Is that a bad? Like, I don't.
I think it sounds like a bad number.
That sounds bad.
When you break 100, that's really bad.
I know if your blood pressure was that high, you're dead. So.
Earl is here. You don't have any medical issues that are.
I do not have any medical issues that I know of, and this conversation sidetracked my whole coming back speech, but.
Jeff just announced he's like dying.
Don't worry, Earl. Like, how old are you?
I'm 34.
Oh, you're. They're coming. Trust me, they're coming.
Death will reach you one of these days. Don't worry.
One of these days, I'm hoping.
You're hoping for.
Death. I don't know what I'm hoping for.
I'm hoping it does happen.
I'm hoping one day.
I'm counting on like science to solve this shit before I fucking my time is up.
I mean, it's not gonna happen. We're gonna miss you, Jeff.
What I have well, no, because Jeff's gonna die tonight with cholesterol. I've convinced my kids, and my wife just like she just shakes her head when I'm like, I'm gonna have my consciousness transferred into an AI.
I feel like
forever.
Dude, am I crazy and feeling like we're on like the cusp of that, and like we might be like the last generation that actually dies? Like
that
like,
sucks. Dude,
I
no.
know. Cause seriously, I'm telling you right now, if you could put me in a fucking computer and I can play video games or whatever, I'm good. I'm happy. Keep me going. Like I will live thousands of years. I don't care.
Continue to watch and play video games.
Like, what if, like, I don't know, 100 years from now, it's like, yeah, you could just. You know, if you don't want to transfer your consciousness, you don't have to, but obviously you would. And
what if you don't play video games, but you become the AI that the humans fight against?
You just die over and over.
I'm sure there's a Disney movie about this somewhere.
Oh, that sounds like a terrible corporate future. Like,
I'll take it.
We are going to you're going to be the cannon fodder in Uncharted 74.
You're just some grunt that's killed every 15 seconds. You're dying.
Yeah, like you just keep spawning into different games because everything's streaming at that point. All right. Well, we are back. We played some games. I think three of us have played one of the big games that came out. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Earl, you have not played this one yet.
I have not played this one. I am curious to hear impressions because I've heard good things about it, but I heard it is not the game that people thought it was going to be.
Okay. I don't know what people thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know what I
It is. It is awesome. Definitely a mix of different games. It is like a greatest hits of this generation.
Yeah, it is a pretty smash of popular games in a genre, like in the kind of like, you know, action adventure type, you know, genre.
Yep.
But it's like a mix of games I really love too. It's like games I like really enjoy.
Yeah, and with like a Star Wars wrapper around it. So, yeah, Jeff. Tony, you've played Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Sure.
What do you guys think of it?
I finished
the main character. You finished it already, my God.
I finished it like right before we recorded.
I thought you were going to say right when it came out.
No.
Is the main character super boring the whole time or just, you know, at the beginning?
He's bad.
Really? You guys thought that?
He's so lame. Dull. He's super lame.
Do you think it's just his face?
His face is like so punchable.
His face, his voice.
He's the kid. He's on. I don't watch the show, but my girlfriend does. He's on Shameless. Like it's totally the exact likeness of that actor.
I mean, I guess it's a smaller property in terms. I'm surprised you didn't go with Gotham. He's the Joker on that show.
I don't. Yeah, I've never.
Is
seen
that him. Who he is? Like, mm-hmm. I see it now. I did
who is he
before.
On the show?
He's the Joker.
Really?
Yes. He's actually, he was a great part of that. But yeah, it's Cameron, I forget his last name.
Diaz.
But yeah, it's not.
Cameron Diaz.
Yes, it's Cameron Diaz.
I forgot his name, but yeah, that's like, he's got kind of a lame face for like a hero character, you know?
Cameron Monaghan?
Yes, there we go.
It's very generic and like just there.
I'll say this. I didn't really think about him one way or the other, but I think that the story has like a really strong setup and like a good, like interesting place in the Star Wars like timeline. So it's like, what, 5 years after the Purge of the Jedi?
Yeah,
right?
So it's like 5 years after Revenge of the Sith, the events there. So the Empire has taken hold.
So it's that same space that they always kind of fill.
And I think that's like the most interesting spot. Like the setup for this is like, he's like this Jedi, this Jedi who's like pretending he's not. And then like he's kind of like discovered, and then like he's off and he's on the run, and the game's kind of like started off where it's like, okay. I like the idea of Jedi having to hide who they are because there's an oppressive regime that will kill them. Like they're
I
like
get
literally
that, but they've done that before. Doesn't Rebels also have something similar to that?
Yeah, see, like, that's new to me. I never watched Rebels.
But that's my point, is that because so much of the Star Wars lore is in that gap between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, there's so much like, it actually kind of weakens even that prequel trilogy, because it's like, oh, then the bad guys weren't even that good at getting rid of all the Jedis.
But like,
right, like that's the funny part, right? Because so it's like, you know, when you see it without all the context, it's like, oh, the shit, they killed everybody and with Order 66. And then along comes like 18 years, 20 years later, A New Hope comes along, and Obi-Wan is like the last Jedi, really, at that point. He's not, because we find out Yoda exists. But they're the only two. They're the only two we ever hear about up until, you know, they started expanding. And then now there's Rebels who had, you know, Kanan and Ezra. And Ahsoka evidently lived. She's out there somewhere. There's all these like Jedi or you know, not fully trained Jedi kind of still out there. It's like this weird thing. Like the Empire is really shitty.
But not only that, but the Jedi are also really bad, because it's like, oh, we're just going to hide and not defend anybody for 20 years. And not even 20 years, because like, well, even during the original trilogy, none of them show up again.
No, like they're all, I don't know where they are at that point. And I haven't finished watching Rebels, so I don't know if like anything resolves itself there. But yeah, like I think doesn't Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith, doesn't he give like he sends out a blast message basically to everybody, like if you've survived, go into hiding, don't reveal yourselves.
The Jedi, and I'm gonna get out of grief for this, the Jedi are just really terrible characters. I get that they wanted to make this P7 group, but so much of their rules is just so bad.
Like, they're a terrible religion.
Like, we will make billions suffer just to protect our own asses. Why?
Because they're special.
But if you're special, you're not doing anything with it.
I know. I mean, dude. Yeah. I just, for me though, like, anyways, like going back to what we were like saying before, like I don't like. I pretty much stick to the movie, and I stick to like. I've never seen Solo yet. Like, I just stick to like the main.
How have you not seen Solo? I thought you were a movie person.
To be fair,
I didn't want to touch it. I wanted it to be like this last episode 9 or whatever is going to be awesome for me, because I haven't seen shit since The Last Jedi, you know? Like, I wanted to keep it that way. I don't know.
I was going to say,
it was oversaturating for a little bit there. Like,
go ahead,
I saw the box office for Solo. Most people didn't see Solo either, so you're in good company.
It's good fun. I like Solo quite a bit.
It's a fine movie. It's just one of those movies where I hate to be that guy where it's like, it did not need to exist.
No, it didn't. Like, I mean, but this, you know, I mean, you'd probably agree with me because evidently you're a Marvel hater as well. So
yes,
anybody that says anything about Marvel is a Marvel hater. But I think like half of those Marvel movies don't need to exist either. But they're there.
I mean, I'm gonna be the real Marvel hater among us. None all of them don't. They all suck, pretty much, in my opinion.
I'm not gonna go Jeff's route, but I will just say this much: the one thing that really did piss me off about Solo, though, and this happens a few times, his name did not need an origin story.
No, that's,
nobody was like
so stupid.
Where did this guy come from?
Like, you just assume it's his name.
Oh, Solo, you're saying?
Yeah.
I know how they explain his name.
It's so dumb.
I was just like, in 40 years, was anybody ever literally asking, is Han Solo his real name? It's like, I don't care where it came from. You named him this character. I'm going with it.
It doesn't need. Yeah.
I have a feeling that is holdover from the Lord and Miller portion of the film. Like,
I think so.
They were probably just like, hey, this is funny. Like, is this stupid? This is stupid, right? Let's do this. Yeah, it's stupid. So stupid. Like, Ron Howard should have cut that shit. But yeah. So you enjoy the fact that it's I like the rebellion period as well. Like,
it has like the most stakes and tension. Like, dude, the tension of like the government's coming to fucking get you and kill you. Like, you know, I don't know how you like go above that. You know, But again, for me, like, you guys know how I am with video game stories, where it's like I don't often pay attention. And with this, like, I thought it was such a strong setup, but with like an hour or two after that into the game, I'm just like, oh, I'm doing video game shit to help and fix things. Like, I just stopped paying attention until like the last hour, and I was like, okay, now what's happening? I don't want to say anything spoilery, but like I thought the last hour of the game started to really drag and was kind of really boring, and I like feel it's one of those like endings where you're like, you could feel the ending coming, and then it just goes on for like feels like forever, and it's just like, oh, we're gonna go backtrack to all these planets and fucking go get a doodad from each one, and so not to like dampen.
No, your guys' expectations. There definitely seem to be a lot of areas like early on that are. Like, oh, you can't go here yet.
Yeah, and so, but like, when you go back to those at the end of the game, all it really makes is like, you basically have to go to end each map when you go back to at the end of the game, and it's like, it just makes it easier to get across the map. It's not like, oh, there's interesting things to find, because you guys have probably played enough to know that there's not interesting things to find.
That's one of the things that like. There's so much to find, but none of it is.
It's just lightsaber.
It's like yeah. Any of the chests, any of the regular chests you find, it's cosmetics. Just like, yep, it's all dumb cosmetics. And like, look, I think cosmetics, like being able to set up your character however you want, is pretty cool. But like, if that's all you're finding, it's kind of pointless. Once in a while, you'll find like stim packs that increase your back to the tank thing.
Not nearly enough of that shit. I wish there was more of that.
How many did you end up with?
Stims or...
The stims, yeah.
I think I only had two through the whole game.
Really?
Yeah, how many do you have?
I have five now.
I only had two at the end of the game.
You really didn't explore around.
I did, but almost every time I found... What I found most of the time was, just lightsaber shit. Like... Once in a while, it was, this will expand your max health. Like, I expanded my max health.
Oh, yeah, there's those two, yeah. Max health and max force. Yeah, but there are, like, these special crates that have, that'll increase your, basically, like, an Estus Flask, right?
I was wondering the whole time I was playing the game, I'm like, am I going to increase the number of Estus Flasks I have, like, or stims, they call it here.
Yes.
And I was like, after a while, assumed, okay, it's always just going to be two. Like, that's just how
it works. Yeah, it's like, I have five, and I've heard people on podcasts say, like, somebody said they had seven, somebody said they had nine. They're out there.
Probably maybe nine is the max, because it can't be, like, too high, you're going to break the difficulty.
And it's like some of them do require like there's like little puzzle rooms that you have to.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, there's like on that first planet. I can't remember the name of it, but the first planet, like, this was kind of like the tutorial area, outside of like the scrap planet you're on, the first Jedi planet you go to. There's this place when you're leaving that's like, oh, I can't get into this room now. I can't get into this room yet because for whatever reason. And then when you come back, you can get in there because you can do the force push. And then there's a puzzle in there. It's behind this grate. And like, you have to force push and use your force time hold thing and then push more to get a ball into a certain hole. And then it opens a gate that you can then get a stim out of.
Well, like, what I was going to say is, like, the little side shit where you find those secrets is, like, the secret that you find is often just not really worth it. It's, like, something stupid. But, like, the actual puzzle to get there is sometimes really fun, or, yeah, like, the cool platforming you have to do is really good. So it's, like, the act of doing it in itself almost makes it worth it.
Yeah, but I think the puzzles, like, and they're sprawling in some cases. I think it's like the second planet you go to. You can go to Dathomir, but that's not a smart decision as your second planet. So the other one, you go there and like you get to this underground area, and it's almost like a old school Tomb Raider level.
Very much.
Like
where Dathomir was the wrong choice for your second planet.
Yeah.
Oops.
Like you're way underpowered to go there as your second planet. And you can go back onto the ship and go to the other one.
But I can't fast travel, right? So I need to walk all the way back to the ship.
You have to walk all the way back. You have to walk all the way back to your ship.
I kind of respect that about the game.
Like, no, like, don't respect that shit. I hate honest. That. I hate that. You love the Dark Souls elements. I hate the little, like, let's go to the thing and meditate. I hate that.
And then, so, like, what I hate about it, I don't mind that there's these, like, save points, because that's basically what they are. What I hate about it is the Dark Souls thing of it respawns the enemies. So I just cleared out this fucking area of Stormtroopers.
Well, you have to make a choice. Like, what's important to you? Like, I like that. I don't know.
But the choice is stupid to me because, like, you know, you want to respawn the beasts and stuff. But I just slaughtered all the fucking Stormtroopers in this area. You're going to say I'm going to sit down. And all of a sudden, like, they're going to come back? Like, that's dumb. Like, to me, that is so stupid.
Well, you could still, like, basically save there and not spawn them. Like, you could get up and...
No, I understand, but, like...
It's worth it to keep them dead for me. It's a tough choice because you're probably low on health, you know? You're like, I want my health.
Right, so it's like, I need to respawn here. Like, I need to rest here to get my health back and get my stims back. There's like, and some of them are in like shit locations, like where, I'm going to save here. And then when I get up, I'm getting hit with a fucking rocket because I've spawned in six troopers, one of which has a fucking rocket launcher that's standing right above me. That shit. Like I fucking despise.
I did get like frustrated sometimes, like very often with the game. Like this is a game I screamed at the TV a lot, and a lot of it was just like I think the save point spacing is kind of fucked in places. Where it's like weird. Sometimes you're like
back to back, and then
across the level, and it's like a lot of time. Like there was one part. And I'll post it on Twitter later for you guys to see. But, like, there was one part where, like, I'm going all the way across this map, like, literally almost from the beginning to the end of the map, like, doing platforming, running up walls, swinging on shit, fighting a bunch of guys. And it's like, if you die at the end of that, you have to do all that again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and the funny thing is like, sometimes you just get surrounded by, like, three stormtroopers with the fucking shock baton things, and it's like, next thing you know, like, one of them gets you, man, and you're like, ah, fuck, I wasn't paying attention to my health, or whatever, and you just, like, fuck, you got fucked over by, like, a small enemy all the way across the map. I took a picture of the map, like, how long the trail is on the map between the save points, where I'm just like, this is insane,
dude. There's a couple where, and it's not, like, I haven't had any problem with, like, the actual platforming, or the wall running, like I find all that stuff works really fluid, and the combat for the most part I enjoy. The sliding,
I love that shit. Really?
The slide.
Why is there so much sliding? I don't understand.
And it's like the sliding where it's like, oh, you got to slide and then slide back to the left and slide to, and then get a jump over this thing. Oh, but now you're gonna hit it, and you better hit your stick exactly at that time so you can shift back to the left.
The sliding jump to the ropes.
Oh, the ropes are terrible. It's like, oh, I missed the fucking rope again. Oh, again. And then you keep like losing a little bit of health, and finally like, oh, you're out of health. Now you're dead. Do it all over again.
I didn't have any problem at all with the sliding through the whole game. And on top of that, like, it just reminded me of like, they used to have sections like that in old like N64 games and shit. Yep. Where it'd be like, now you're surfing.
And it was a bad idea then, and it's a bad idea now.
Are you guys crazy? Then. I love that shit, dude. Like the fucking, even Mario 64, the one where you like race the penguin down the thing. Like that's
fucking classic. Hate that. I hate that one.
What? You guys are being sacrilege right now. What the fuck? Yeah, but I never found any of that hard in this, and it made me like nostalgic. I like made me happy that they included it. And they included it so much. Like that's really funny.
I wouldn't mind if when you jumped, like somehow you would hit that rope. Like the rope, just the hit detection on the rope seems
I so think it's
minor that I just kept
it's
missing.
Precise.
It.
It's but I do. Have you guys yeah, gotten
but
thing
the sliding isn't
catch,
precise.
Have you gotten the thing that helps you catch the rope though?
What is that?
Pull. Force pull.
No, I have not. I have not.
Well, spoilers, because like
no. So I have. So I have like the time one that you. That's the one you start with, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like force pause, and then you get the wall run, and then I have force push now.
Shit.
But I just finished Kashyyyk.
That's about you're. Maybe near the halfway point, I think. There's not that many planets. I think there's, like, 5 planets. Well, spoilers. You get force pull. I mean,
seems I figured, because there's definitely... There,
you got push,
there are,
you pull. So.
Well, but there are items that are highlighted in red that, like, I am across from. It's like, I need to pull that towards me. But so I can't yet. So it's like the Metroid thing. Like, I don't have the power yet. I need to access that part of the map.
It's such a helpful move with catching the ropes because, like
sure. Not helpful right now. I don't have it.
You'd be nowhere near a rope to jump off somewhere, and if there's a rope around you, you just hold down the left trigger, and that motherfucker's coming right in your hand, and you're swinging around like so.
And but that would
it is true
probably make the slides way better. Like right now, it's so infuriating. I dread seeing them anywhere on the map. Like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go down there. Fuck that. Is there another way?
That's again. That's so surprising that you both say that, Earl. You have opinion about like the fucking like sliding levels and platformers. Do you not like them? Also, or am I like the only one here that likes them?
It depends on how well the physics are. Like I liked them in Super Mario Brothers 2, and I think that was because the game in general is just kind of really floaty. But I also just kind of cheated most of the time and used Peach or Luigi so you can just kind of hover over most of it. And I think it's always really difficult to take a certain element of control away from the player in a game that's so tightly based on how you control characters. So it's never a good thing. It's the same reason why people dislike water levels. It's because you're changing the physics in a negative way.
You guys are such killjoys. I'm just like,
I was not expecting a third person platform, which is primarily what this is.
It is a lot of it. So like, all right, what do you
guys
think?
There's some combat. The combat, I don't love the combat. It doesn't feel great. Like, I feel like I'm doing a lot of button mashing.
You shouldn't. I think.
Like, you end up, like, surrounded by, like, 5 guys. You're like, okay,
I hate that stuff.
Let me roll away and, you know, hopefully take off one guy in the periphery so I can get my force power back
And there are things like as you're increasing your weird skill point meter, like you're getting skill points to drop on your weird map.
Yeah,
you will get things that like make combat easier. So it's like if you're running and there are stormtroopers that are shooting at you, there's a skill that like whenever you're running, you'll just deflect. Like you don't have to stop and deflect. Like you'll just do it automatically, and you'll be able to like. You'll take out half of them on your way towards them, as opposed to like, oh shit, I gotta fight off this one guy who has the shock baton. But instead, you can kind of like run towards the guys that are shooting you, take them out, and then focus on the more melee character. So there are things that make the combat, I think, a little bit
the more combat
feasible.
I think builds on itself as it goes out. Like, there's some more like significant stuff than that too, where it's just like. Oh, now I can force push someone off the fucking edge and it looks cool as shit, dude.
It's like, awesome. And you get ones where it's like not just one person you can force push off, but like you could force push off multiple enemies. So it's
and like for instance, like with the force push, you could upgrade that. And let's say you're fighting a big boss now, and if you upgrade the force push, you could use the force push to stagger the boss so you get an opening to go hit him a couple times. I think the combat, like literally gets better as it goes on because you just start to feel like more and more of a badass, and not just the combat, the platforming too. Like you feel by the end of the game, you have like all these moves and it just feels so fucking good that I want them to do a sequel where it's like, you start with all these moves, you know, like,
well, that's kind of, but from what I'm hearing, I don't think they give you enough tools in the beginning.
No, like it's a slow build up. Like, oh, here's this level, and you can pretty much complete this level without any force powers. And then at the end, you get a force power somewhere in there. Like, I don't remember exactly where you get the wall run, but like you're exploring around. Oh, now I have the wall run. Now I can do this part and access this part of the map, and then you get like the force push. But yeah, like I'm like. You know, Jeff's like, oh, if you have force pull, it makes it a whole lot easier for the sliding bit.
But you're like halfway through the game, yeah, and you,
I'm halfway through,
and
you haven't even gotten it yet. So it's like, where, like, that's a little frustrating.
So, like, Tony said that this is like, the, you know, one area was like Tomb Raider, basically. Like, what do you guys think, like, the recipe of this game is? Like, for me, I think it's like Tomb Raider crossed with Dark Souls crossed with, like, Metroid, like the Metroid design of like, oh, you get new shit and that lets you reach new things. And I don't know. I think that's kind of the mishmash that this is.
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely mix with like an RPG because, so like the
you're gonna
drop
Dark Souls too. Yeah,
yeah, but Dark Souls is more like you're gonna increase these like me like this stats. This is more like. Oh, it's almost like, you know, Diablo or, you know, something else in that where it's like you're picking skills that you'll gain with
like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Or it's like, oh, you'll get this. Now you can force push two people off or force pull two people towards you or deflect blaster bolts when you're running. Or so like, you know, I think it's those three kind of together plus like RPG kind of. Character building on the side,
but I do feel like
mixed with like Mass Effect and because there's also like you know you're on the ship, you're traveling to different planets, you're talking
that's
to
in everything. Every game now is like you have the ship, and that's like how you like Outer Limits or Outer Worlds, or whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, Outer Worlds to me, like a lot of that ship stuff was like they pulled this straight from Mass Effect. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I guess it is a thing that's, like, ever since Mass Effect, that's kind of been a trope. It's just, like, fucking even Splinter Cell had it. There was a ship, he did the same shit.
I would just point out that Metroid Prime 3 had it first, but nobody talks about that game.
Because it was the least...
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
You don't agree with that?
It's actually my favorite of the Metroid Prime games, but...
That... Whoa. Okay. Well, that's not... Right. I think that, like, I think... I get like having a preference between 2 and 3, but I feel like 1 is just like the fucking template and it's just the best. I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. I think Star Wars, I guess, I think it's a really good game.
Just real quick, yeah. I'm curious. What is the story like in this game?
I don't know.
It's not. It exists, I guess.
I think as Jeff said, it starts off real good. Like,
it's a strong setup, and then it quickly becomes, well, you got to do this and this and that to help the fucking
rebel. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, let's rebuild the Jedi Order. Which, one, to me, that to me as a Star Wars fan is like, no. That's a bad setup. That's a bad setup because it doesn't happen. Like, we're 15 years before A New Hope. I know it doesn't happen. Like, this is everything I'm doing is inconsequential, which makes sense.
Yeah, that's an odd setup, but
you know, kind of like where things have to end up. Yep. I will say this, although I found the last like hour of the game pretty tedious and shit, like, the last 10 minutes of the game, really exciting and like just badassery. I don't want to spoil anything, but like, I found the last 10 minutes to be really cool.
Does Darth Vader show up and you fight him? Because
I'm not going to say.
He shows up everywhere.
God, she's like, it's like, oh, what is her Darth thinking? I mean, he had to be doing something for those 20 years. Like,
Darth Vader is the Eugene Levy of Star Wars at this point.
Eugene Levy. Oh my God.
So Tony, you don't sound as high on it as
it's fine. I guess it's just I don't know. It's not what I was expecting. It's not perfect. No, it's fine. It's a good game. I'm not gonna like say that it's bad. It's just, you know.
I think in terms of similar games to Dark Souls, like this is why I think Dark Souls should have a difficulty setting.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I adjusted the difficulty setting on mine probably because I was playing it wrong and not finding the stims. Like, at some point, I was just like, but I always regretted it because I would beat a boss and go, oh my God, I was so close to beating it. Like,
you were playing on hard and.
Like, there was one time, okay, there was one boss I was fighting, right? And I was like, fuck, man, I don't know. Like, I'm going to switch it to easy. And when you switch it to easy, it makes the game a lot easier. It does. Like, the combat, especially. But like I found out that
the story mode type.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I found out that like basically you only had to like get this boss down to half health and then like a triggered a cutscene and it was kind of like over with after that. Like,
you're almost there.
So like, yeah, I was like basically right there. Like, I almost always regretted changing the difficulty. But then sometimes I didn't because I would just be like, I just want to get past this part, and I guess if you give me the way out, I'm going to do it, you know? And I guess I got to, like, part of what makes Dark Souls special is that, like, you have to figure it out. If you want to get past it, you got to figure it out, but, like, sometimes I just, if you give me a shortcut, if you give me a lazy way, I'm going to take it, you know? Like, but I guess I'm kind of thankful for that, because at the end of the game, even on easy, it was hard. Like, the very last couple fights, like, on easy, I was like, the very last boss fight, I was down to one hit left. I would have been killed for like the last like 30 seconds of it. I got so lucky. I would have been so mad. I probably would just like gave up if I had lost. And been if like,
if you had looked around a little bit early on, you would have found 3 stim packs.
Yeah, I know.
you would have had more health.
So, moral of the story of that is like,
find more stim packs.
Yeah, definitely explore. I felt like I did explore most of Nook and Crannies. I only rushed through the end of the game tonight because I felt I was near the end and I just wanted to be done with it because I was like buying all these Black Friday games. I'm like, I have so many games I have to play. And so I was like, I just want to get through it. But I felt like I was exploring before then, but apparently not.
There's a lot to explore, but I can see why you wouldn't. Because, like, as we said, like, the stuff you're finding for most of it is so inconsequential. Like,
that's what I wanted to ask you, because you said you went back to an area and, like, you were able to access that area now because mm-hmm. of that. Like, did you go back to that area on your own, or, like, the game directed you back to a previous planet and you start exploring from there?
So I finished the second planet, which is where the... I'm trying to think of what I can't remember the names of the fucking planets, but it's not Dathomir. It's after you finally can choose more than one planet. So you go back to that first planet. Like, when you finish that planet, they go, hey, it might make sense for, like, we can go to Kashyyyk because that's where the story should go. But, you know, now that you're, like, gotten your powers back up, it might make sense to go to some of the places we already visited. You might be able to explore a little more there. And I was like, all right, I don't really want to start in on the next story bit yet. So I went back to the first planet and
see, that's okay. I didn't do that at all through the whole game, because the game felt very linear to me. And I really felt like when they told me I had to go to do the next mission, I had to go do it. Like, so I just, like, yes, I would explore as I was doing the mission, right. But I didn't ever go.
I have, like, to go back,
like,
here.
I didn't play like an RPG like The Outer Worlds, where I was like, you know what, let's go back and check out this area and see what's, like, I never did that, because it was all like platforming shit. So I just really felt like, all right, once I saw a section, I kind of saw that section. Yeah, I know there's things to go back, but I don't care because it's mostly garbage. I guess it's not all garbage.
No, there's stuff there. It's, and there's like some puzzles that then, like, and relevant upgrades. It's just the amount of bullshit that you're actually collecting is, like, I mean, it's really cool that, like, you can, you know, create a dual lightsaber or stuff like that. But did you find that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I feel that that's, like, missable. Like, if you don't access a certain area, like, you could miss stuff, which is weird, but. Yeah, so Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Jeff's done it. Tony and I are still playing it. I like it more than Tony.
You're going to finish it, though, right, Tony? I hope.
We'll see.
We'll see. Wow. That's like, I
have other games I want to play more, I think. Like, I really want to play Control. I really want to try Borderlands 3. So, this game seems like it's long enough that if I play it through to the end, long. I'm really not going to get into those games before Game of the Year. So I want to, like,
dude, it's not that long. It's not. It's
isn't it like 30 hours long?
No way.
I think it's like I'm hearing like 20, but
20 at best. Like,
I put about 9 hours in, and Jeff said I was about halfway done. So,
all right.
Yeah. It's a normal length for like it's a normal length for like a Tomb Raider type game. It's about a length of one of those, dude. Like, it's not
not Uncharted 4 length.
No, I mean, even that, it's not super long, is it? Like, it's like
That was about 5 hours too long.
I mean, it felt super long, but no, you should definitely, like, again, like I said, I don't really rushed through the last hour or so. Like, I beat it. I did, there were a couple nights this week where I started playing it at like 6 o'clock at night and played till like midnight. And I, you know, that's a lot of like pausing the game and doing other shit. But like, there were some committed nights to this game, because I didn't have a lot of fun with it. Like, I think it is a really good game. Like, I would put it like an 8.5 to a 9, like somewhere in that range. It's just like, it's not mind-blowing because it's not anything super new. It's just like mix of cool things that are good. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a very well-made game that takes a bunch of stuff that's been good this generation and last generation, and they've put it together with like this cool Star Wars wrapper, which is why I love it. Like, so we haven't had a good Star Wars game in a while. There are things about it that, you know, frustrate it's me, but
easily my favorite Star Wars game. Like, I don't know if that's like a crazy thing to say or not, but like,
no, I mean,
Knights of the Old Republic, you didn't play those games?
Yeah, I don't know what Star Wars games you played, so it's like,
well,
you know,
yeah,
you only played this in Episode 1 Racer on the N64, like.
I was just saying, like, a lot of ones I played were pretty bad, like the ones I've tried, you know, like, remember Shadow of the Empire?
Yeah.
That game was fine.
Yeah,
we thought it was cool. Go try to play that shit now. Well, good luck.
No. I mean, a lot of those games from the N64 do not
but
hold
even,
up.
But even then, at that time, you were like, this is not like Mario 64. You know, like, the controls like felt nowhere near as good. Like,
well, not much was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earl, you played more Luigi's Mansion.
I have played more Luigi's Mansion.
How much more?
Sadly, not a ton more in this story. I've actually been playing out of Skyscraper, which is the on.
You guys are killing me.
Well, it's honestly, I mean, part of the reason, like I said, I was gone the last few weeks. It's just work has been killing me. It's our busy season, so I just get home sometimes, and like, I'll just put on a movie or something. I have played a bit more of the story mode. I got up to, again, not that far. I got up to the part where you fight the piano dude, and you rescue like the first toad. And I do think. So far, that this is a nice marriage, but not necessarily a complete marriage between one and two, with having a unique ghost with their own different personalities. I do like that almost all of the big boss ghosts have very distinct personalities and very unique ways to combat them.
Yeah.
So this one was a highlight. I like how just like he was, how over Luigi he was when Luigi got there. And I also like the Paul Bart cop one. That was another fun ghost.
That's one of my favorite things about the game is that like each level has a really kind of like unique and awesome, like interesting boss, you know?
Yeah. And I think they do a great job with having unique unique stages as well, or environments for each floor. The one thing I will say, and I think this comes more from Chu, is I don't necessarily care for the fact that you just kind of run into normal ghosts everywhere else. There's only maybe 4 or 5 types of ghosts in the game that are boss characters. So that is, to be fair, they do kind of enhance them, so some will have stuff. Like, some will have sunglasses you have to suck off, or some will be wearing, like, have a book that you have to...
Wait, where you have to do what with them? What's happening?
Well, you suck with a vacuum. I mean, there's no way around that.
There's a lot of sucking, yeah.
So much sucking.
Oh, it's so great sometimes to just go in a room and suck everything you can.
Do you ever have to blow, though?
Yes, you do have to blow sometimes. And sometimes you have to blow together so you can use Luigi and Luigi to solve puzzles. And I think that's very clever. That is very clever. So sometimes I forget that if you switch between characters, they stay in that motion. So there's some puzzles where I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And the game's like, yeah, dude, remember, you can switch and they will continue doing that one motion. I'm like, oh, right, I can do that. But, I mean, again, not too far into the game, but absolutely super charming game. I mentioned this when I first talked about it. Luigi just has so much more personality than Mario does. And it shows in like, everything he does.
I hate Luigi, though.
How can you hate Luigi?
I'm baffled by this.
I just want to punch it. Like, much like the Star Wars dude, I just want to punch him in the face.
I don't get it. I don't.
I
can't stand him.
Is somebody the younger brother in their family?
No, I'm the older brother.
That would explain that.
Are you like the linkier brother or something? I don't know.
Right, he's the older brother, so he just hates younger siblings.
That's exactly it. Like, just like Luigi.
But no, and then, like I said, Skyscraper is the online co-op mode that was introduced in Dark Moon. And I do, it's a fun mode. It's a great way to kind of kill some time. They have scaled it down a bit from Dark Moon, which I'm not too keen on. So, you kind of run into the same handful of ghosts. They scale down the objective, so there's only 4 types of objective, I believe. Well, and there's the boss round. So you can capture ghosts, you can find money, you can rescue toads, and you can kill crows. But it's random, and you don't necessarily know what you get.
Okay.
And a lot of times, it's nice and everything, but it's like, it's a hotel floor, and it doesn't use any of the environments from the actual game, and I think that was a disappointment, because you create these fun, interesting locations, and then it's like, okay, we're just going to do a generic hotel floor, and you just have to find where the ghosts are and stuff like that. But it's a ton of fun again. My biggest issue with it, really, is that it does There are parts of it that does have an element of cooperation that is difficult to achieve when you still don't necessarily have built-in voice chat.
Oh,
so there are certain
trying to like tell people what to do, but you don't have an actual way of doing it.
Yeah, like you have three commands on the D-pad. You have help, over here, and thank you, and that's it.
Mm.
And you can get far with that, I guess. But there are times where, like for instance, I mean, really, the big example is there are buttons that you have to press, and in order to press them, it has to be all eight characters. So it's like, okay, I found this button. Now either I'm going to have to go continue, or I'm going to wait until everybody gets here. And you're just spamming that over here button over and over again for like 2 minutes, and it's kind of annoying.
Right.
And then there are times when you get trapped. There are, you know, there's environmental hazards, and you can't really break free. You need somebody else to do it for you. And you're just spamming the help button, and like everybody's like, okay, we're just going to chill out, not do anything. And then there's this one dude who I hate so much, Keegan, who was... Because there are parts where there are random encounters in the game. So, like, a lightning storm will go off, and you'll lose power. Or, like, a bunch of ghosts will attack everybody, and your backpack. And you have to go track down your backpack again to kind of, you know... So you can't do anything during that time frame. So we also have backpacks. I found mines. He was running around behind me for some strange reason. I got stuck behind a door, and the dude stood there for 2 minutes. And I'm just like, dude, you can't do anything. I don't know why you're standing here. And they just kept on standing there. And I'm like, okay. So I'm incapacitated, and you're standing around like an idiot. That's half the team not doing anything right now. So that was super fun. And then we all sat around, of course. So, the other thing I will say is because I've been playing this with some friends, not that friend, Keegan, as I actually have, I've actually used the Nintendo Switch Online app voice chat, and it does work. Which
that's good.
I should be surprised by it. It's been out for 2 years now, but yeah, it does. I mean, it's essentially the same setup I have right now, where I use my headset on my phone to record this show. And again, I've always thought the idea of the app is a good idea.
Right.
I just don't think it should be the way to do it. It should be in addition to if you want to do it this way.
Right. It should be. There should be a built-in hardware solution on the system. And then like, hey, you can also do it this way. You know, if this makes it easier for you, whatever way.
Yeah. Because in some ways, it has to be communicating with the Switch because it like knows I'm on Luigi's Mansion already. And like when somebody joins the party, it'll pop up on the screen right away. So I'm like, okay, so you kind of have this interface. Like, why didn't you think about like having a Bluetooth headset for the device or something so that I could do it on an OS server and not have to have this app that does really kill your battery as well?
Right, it has to be open, right?
It does not have to be. Well, okay. It doesn't have to be open anymore. Yeah, that was when it initially came out. It was on top of everything, and the phone had to stay open. Now it can kind of go off, but it still just drains your battery. And I think because it's probably communicating between you and the Switch constantly.
Right.
So yeah, there's that.
All right. Well, I'm going to play Luigi's Mansion.
So that's what you decided?
I decided I will play Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, no, because I know you were asking Jeff and I between Luigi's Mansion and Pokemon.
I think I'm also going to get Pokemon.
You should get Pokemon. Okay.
You should have got Pokemon. I wish I had known, because the reason I have not gotten Pokemon yet, it should be here tomorrow, I hope, is that I found a deal on Facebook where it was $38. And I'm like, I'm not going to say no to that.
No, that's a good price.
I mean, that's actually cheaper than the handheld versions.
Well, technically, that's what I paid for it, because I have my 20% off from Best Buy. I got $10 in credit. So,
nice.
Yeah.
$38.
So you're the only one that has played it then, Tony.
Yes.
Tell which one did you get, first off?
Sword.
That would be the one I would get. The Earl, is that the one you're going to get?
That's what I got, because all my friends had Shield.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think the sword.
Pokemon X better.
Looks cooler.
Can someone explain to me the difference?
So Nintendo does two versions of Pokemon every time, and there are some Pokemon that are exclusive to each one.
That's what I thought. But
so to get all the Pokemon, you have to have both, or trade Pokemon with somebody else who has the other game.
Okay, that's 100% what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that's right, because I've never done it myself. Okay, so I'm like my girlfriend actually bought a Light with Shield, so if I got a Sword, I could trade Pokemon with her.
Yeah. The other thing I would note, and this is more, I mean, this isn't for you and your girlfriend, but in this version, there are actually other differences in the terms of there are exclusive gyms for the first time. So one version will have like a ghost gym, and one will have a fighting gym in that place.
I didn't know that. That's the reason to get the other one.
Is that like a seriously significant difference?
Well, so. The gym battles in this game are super cool. Like they were never this cool before. I don't know why people were so excited about gym battles, because they were just like normal battles. You'd run into like trainers on the map, and the battles would be exactly the same. But now, when you get into a battle with a gym trainer, it's like you end up in the middle of this stadium, and there's this huge crowd like watching you. And like everything seems cooler and bigger, and then like the finale is like the gym leader and you Gigamax your Pokemon, so they become like these giant Godzilla-sized monstrosities, and get all these like, and they get like all these powered up moves, and like their hit points all skyrocket, and like the finale just it looks awesome. And like if you're playing this like not in handheld mode, but on your TV, it looks great on your TV. Like it's just a fantastic looking game.
Yeah, so Jeff,
I love how you're more excited about this than
Star Wars.
Sorry.
Really kind of shocked and appalled here, but
so Jeff, your girlfriend got a Switch Lite.
Yes. Yeah, so does anyone have that?
No.
I was just, she can't hook that up to the TV, right? It's just handheld.
As far as I understand it, no, you cannot. Now, maybe they could come out with a solution later. I don't know. I have no idea. But no, as far as I know, it's handheld only. And it's actually, I mean, besides the fact that you can't play it on your TV and the Joy-Cons don't disconnect, it's kind of different elsewise, too. It's like kind of feels lighter. Like it is
lighter.
It's lighter. It's thicker. So it's thicker than a regular Switch, but lighter. It's almost a little smaller, like in general.
It is much smaller.
It has a smaller form factor, right?
Not as wide. Yeah, it's not as long.
But the controller feels better.
It feels good. I mean, it's an awesome handheld. Like for $200, awesome fucking handheld. And also hers, like, I think looks really cool. Like, she got the Pokemon one.
She got the Pokemon one, right?
Like, yeah, it's, like, gray with, like, I forgot. Like, it's, like, red or blue buttons or something like that. Like, colored. I think it's a cool, like, I am not, like, into Pokemon enough where I would want, like, the Pokemon, like, design that's on the back of it or whatever. But, like, just looking at it, like at a glance from the front, like the gray with the colored sticks, I think it looks really cool.
That's cool.
Generally, I mean, like there's a very sick part of me that like wants to buy it for absolutely no reason. Like what do I need it for? I have a Switch. Like
right.
I have a better version of this.
It's like yes, in every way.
Yeah. But it's just like as a handheld, I could just admire that as a handheld. Pretty fucking awesome for $200.
I think you should buy it, Jeff. I think you should.
But like, I shouldn't because like the Switch is a handheld. Like, I don't understand, something's wrong with my brain and like.
Many things are wrong with your brain. I think we spend every week proving that.
Tony, so tell us about the new region. Like you've told us about these cool gym battles and.
Yeah.
How do you like it's like what Pokemon England?
Galar. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Like that part is really similar to the other games. The one thing it looks way better. I I can't convey like how much better Pokemon looks this time around than it looked before, which is hilarious because it got all the drama about like the animations and like how this game looks exactly the same as the other ones. It's just, it looks awesome in HD on your television set.
Yeah, like, it looks. I mean, again, I've not played it, but I've seen a lot of people posting GIFs and screenshots, and it actually looks really gorgeous because a lot of people we could talk about this in news. I mean, no. But yeah, there are people who created like a mod for like better grass texture and tree textures, and it looks so weird in the game because it's like, oh, we're just making it like we're making it more detailed, and it's like you can make it more detailed. It does not work with the aesthetic of the actual game.
Or like the art style is more driving here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so the driving focus as opposed to like having all this high detail on grass.
Because I've seen people compare it to like Breath of the Wild, and I'm like, okay, you know they're not going for the same thing here, right?
You still have the it's much like Let's Go. The Pokemon are like in the world, so you can like see them walking around.
I like that.
Yeah, I think going back to the random like appearance battles was not a good choice, so I'm glad that they went with this.
I do hope that they include random encounters in a way, but like more like you could run into special Pokemon in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like having like a Zubat or a Geodude or whatever roaming around, but like random you can run into like a super special encounter that you can't see.
Oh, so it would just happen.
Randomly hop in and there's Zapdos and you're like, oh.
Yes, kinda like that.
Where did he come from?
Why are my Pokemon dead? What happened?
I don't know how far you have you gotten to the wild area? Because I've heard a lot of stories about that area.
My girlfriend that's like the one thing she said to me, she's like, there is something different in this game. There's a thing called a wild area. I'm like, I don't know Pokemon enough.
See people I've seen like GIFs of people just running in terror in the wild area. Like, get away from me! Oh my god, it's chasing me!
Because it's kind of like Xenoblade in that it's just an area you can roam around and encounter Pokemon, but there's no like level cap, so you can be like a level 10 running into like a level 60 Pokemon who's gonna wreck your team.
Oh, so that sounds like you should stay on the road. Until
well, no, because you could also encounter like Pokemon who are whatever you can capture. Okay. It's just that there's a lot of different Pokemon in there, and again, that's kind of. I mean, I guess that would make sense if you were in the jungle. There's some animals you could take, and there's some that you probably can't.
Yeah, like sometimes there's going to be a small spider, and sometimes an anaconda is going to.
Exactly.
All right.
Who did you pick?
Sobble.
Oh, okay. Great choice.
Is that the water?
The water one.
That bunny looks pretty cool, though.
Yeah, but it's a fire type. That's a problem.
Yeah, I like the water types, but that bunny looks pretty cool.
there's no butt here. No butt. There's no Scorbunny any of on this show.
But he looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jeff, what did your girlfriend pick?
I don't know, but like the
Jeff can't tell the Pokemon apart.
The bunny looks pretty cool, right?
I was just saying, like, I haven't watched her play at all because she's playing it all in handheld. And, like, I'm playing Star Wars, you know. But
it's just hard to sleep playing it. Is that? Did I see that picture correctly? Like your girlfriend was like dead asleep.
Yes, dude. Oh my god, is that not the funniest fucking thing you've ever seen? Like, I don't know. That's like 10-second perfect video, man. That's just going viral. Problem is, you have to like play the sound to get it, because otherwise, it just looks like she's like super comfortable playing the game. She's like, it's all like pressed into her face, like she's like super concentrated on it, and you turn on a sound, fucking snoring away. It's fucking hilarious. But no, what I was gonna say is like my problem, like I will probably play this Pokemon eventually, but like I have to actually learn how to play Pokemon properly because, like, I don't
know. It's a game for children, Jeff.
I know. I don't know what type beats what. Like, what, you know, water. You
don't. Play the game, it will tell you. Literally. Yeah.
Get your Pokemon up high enough level, it'll beat whatever.
And it does, yeah, you could kind of tank
the. Well, it's like, because like the one I had played before, I just didn't even factor that into my thinking. Like, I just did whatever I wanted, and I was basically fine. But I just feel like I was missing an element of the game.
Most people don't, but yes, I mean, it gets really weird once you get, like, some of it's easy. Water beats fire, fire beats grass, grass beats water. And then you get into stuff like Fairy beats Dragon, and it's like, wait, what? but like that stuff is just like, I mean, it's a great system to have, and it's good to know. But I think there's 15 or 18 types. You have to be an insane person to actually know all of that. Like, honestly speaking, sometimes I will still put guides like, what is fighting weak against? And I think it's rock or ground. Which I don't know the difference between rock and ground.
All right, I think fighting is actually good against rock and bad against ground. I'm pretty
there
sure.
There we go. Yes, because you could break a rock with a punch. But yes, it's some of that stupid. And then some of the Pokemon, sometimes I just try to base them off of visuals. And sometimes I'm really bad at saying, like, okay, that's like bug and grass usually screw me up. But yes, let me see. There's what? Water, fire. Water, fire, grass, ice, dragon, dark,
steel,
bug,
ghost,
steel,
psychic,
psychic, dark.
Yep.
Ground, fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, flying. So yes. There's a ton of types, and there's a chart. The ones that really get, because there are ones where it's like. Oh, normal type. There's normal type as well. Which is always one I forget about. Because there's some where it's like it's effective, then there's some where it's like double effective, and then there's ones where it's like.
It's literally immune.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to hit a flying creature with a ground creature, which makes complete sense. How are you going to get up there? But, it's not a. The games have never been crushing. So even if you don't know the types, the worst that's going to happen is your team faints. You go to a Poke Center, refresh them, and you try again. It's never going to be punishing. It's not going to go back 6 hours because you didn't have the right team matchup.
Maybe you, Jeff. Maybe they would punish you worth.
Yeah, but it's and the other thing, and I don't want to read too much into this because I don't need those people on my back, is that, you know, part of the pre-launch stuff was that they got rid of like half the Pokemon in this Pokédex.
And it's not even half, it's like a few. And...
No, it's about half. It's like really? It's like 400 and something out of 891 or something like that.
Right, so they added another 152.
But then that's what I was going to say. It's like, for most people, I would say a good 95% of the world, I don't imagine a lot of people have seen all of the Pokemon to know. Like, it sucks. Like, some of your favorites might not be in this. I know one of my favorites is not in this game. Actually, several of my favorites are not in this game. But, like, there's still something like 400 creatures to capture.
Right.
And I think once you get through that 400, and if you're not insane, maybe you can start complaining about like the other 400 being missing. But I'm like it's weird to say like, they cut half and there's only like 400 and something left. And I'm like, that's still 400 and something characters for you to capture, train, raise, evolve.
I mean, you could have sat around and waited another 2 years for them to add the rest of the Pokemon to the game. Right? This is kind of like they designed, it's completely new. They're redoing all the animations in HD. It's like they're starting from scratch. There's no way they could have added all those Pokemon without this game taking years and years to put together.
Can I get a Pidgey and a Squirtle?
You cannot get a Squirtle, which is one of my favorites, which is not in the game. And I kind of understood what they were doing with that. And you know, right or wrong, it's like, as far as I can tell, you can't really get any of the other starters from any previous generation.
I imagine sometime in the next like, year or so, that will change.
Wait, I mean, Charizard's in this game because Charizard's always around. But, yeah, like, you can't, like, apparently, okay, so, I don't know the full story because some people have data minded. So, some of the original starters are accessible in the game, but it might be, like, if you do, like, a Pokemon bank thing and bring them forward. But, yes, you can't capture a Squirtle or a Bulbasaur or a Finicky or a, you know, Totodile.
I did not know it's like all new. That's crazy.
It's all new starters, right? Like,
I mean, the other
Pokemon, some of them have been around. There are new ones in the game.
Yeah.
But there's
new ones, and then there's old Pokemon who are in the game but have new forms. So, like, they have the Galar region versions of those characters you can capture. So, it's one of those things where I kind of get it because Pokemon, like, a generation of Pokemon, even though at this point we get to make every year, a Pokemon generation lasts about 3 or 4 years because, like, you know, in between they'll do, like, a remake and then they'll do, like, a third version of the current game.
They'll do a remake. Yeah, the remake of whatever, and so we'll probably get what second gen remake of Go this time around. And
yeah, I mean, it's either that or maybe they do Diamond and Pearl, or Diamond and Platinum.
Yeah, but then an Ultra version or.
But yeah, each generation has added roughly about after the first one. I think almost every generation has added roughly about 100 Pokemon, and so it's so new starters. And then a lot of them do follow similar tropes. Like a lot of, I have not played Sword and Shields yet, but I imagine you probably find something that's very similar to Pidgey and Rattata really early on. That has always been popular. It's like Pindove, and I forget the rat in other generations, but like and then as you go forward into the game, it starts opening up a bunch of different really weird ones. Depending on the game, because Black and White did it so that the entire game you found no old Pokemon.
Yep.
And then I think X and Y did the opposite, where like the first route you'd like within like the first half an hour you'd get a starter. Like,
oh, there's a Pikachu.
Yeah, there's a Pikachu. It's like okay, but not only that, but you'd also you get a starter, but then like within the first half an hour you got one of the original starters as well. So you got a Squirtle, Charizard, a Charmander, or a Bulbasaur. And you know, hindsight being 50-50, that was an, I assume, reaction to Black and White, where it's like, we don't know any of these Pokemon. We're of our classics. We're in Nintendo and Pokemon Company's like, okay, we're going to give you these Pokemon right off the bat so you know that your favorites are in this game. And this one seems to be a mashup of the two, where it's like, you're going to get new Pokemon, and you're going to see some of your favorites, but they're not all going to be here.
The fact that there's no Squirtle just means that this is a 1 of 5 game, and we're done talking about it.
There are people who feel that, though. Like, they're like, yeah.
I just want to say, I think there are legitimate criticisms to be made towards the Pokemon game. I think there's legitimate criticism to make for the franchise. It's the way people have gone about it for the last 5 months that has really not been cool. It's been pitiful. It's been extremely excruciating. And it's just kind of showing you how really toxic, and I hate to use this term, entitled some gamers are at times, where it's, you know, again, like Tony mentioned, at its root, Pokemon is still a kid's franchise. Like, it's not one. Like, I think what people want.
I must have missed all this, really.
I'm happy you missed this all.
There's some crazy ass Pokemon.
Like, mad about if what? You, or like
everything. Everything.
Everything. What the main?
It's Pokemon. It's like a joyous thing. Like, You know what? Then again, Star Wars is too, I guess. What am I talking about?
Exactly.
Yes. And Star Wars is the kids' franchise as well. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, the roots of this whole discussion starts from at E3, Nintendo mentioned in passing that not all the Pokemon would make it into Sword and Shield because of, and at the time, they gave the reason that they had to, bring these models into HD and, you know, all the animations and stuff. Because it's not just like, you know, one, again, because it bears repeating, there are 400 and some odd creatures in this game. Like, there are not a lot of franchises that have 400 unique characters.
Yeah, it's not like this is like, oh, there's only 100 of these in here and you're used to having, you know, multiple hundreds. No, there's still a good amount.
Yeah. So they were like, okay, it's an HD game. We have to bring all the models into HD. We have to animate it. And then so it was like, then people start, like, they used that as a jumping off point. So like anything that came out is like, there was like one gift that went around with it is like a Wingull. It's like a seagull in the game, and it's like an animation of it just kind of floating around. Like, oh, this is the animation? Like, why couldn't they get all the Pokemon in this game? And again, it's one of those things where people are backseat game developers. It's like, oh, man.
It only takes you 10 minutes to animate one of these.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why aren't there thousands of them?
Like, there's a mod that came out this week that somebody got like one of the Pokemon in the game. He's like, wait, it took me like an hour to do, and it's like, they're like, oh, look, this is no excuse. He got it in an hour. He's like, oh, no, this is a lot of work. It does not actually work in the game yet. It's like you could – it's in the game, but it doesn't have any animations. It crashes the game when put in battle. And it's like – it's in the game, though.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. That's like one animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have 400-some-odd creatures. Then you have all the different moves because there's hundreds of moves as well. Different types of trainers. So it was that. It was some of the stuff is just really diehard fans, like no post game content. And I'm just like, I've been two Pokemon games in my entire life. I do not care about post game content. it's kind of in this back and forth between them and, well, it's basically just been them. And everybody's saying, you know, everybody's just saying, you know, it's going to be a good game. This is maybe next time. And then it was like, oh, you folks will defend anything. So it kind of came ahead a few weeks ago. And I don't know how you missed any of this. So there was a...
I swear to God, not a peep. Like, I must have scrolled right past anything that says anything like that.
Yeah, because trending on Twitter was something called Game Freak Guide, which was them, like, the game coming out and people kind of data mining it and being like, oh, they lied about this, they lied about that. So in addition, so when that happened, a whole contingent of the internet created something called Thank You Game Freak, which was thanking them for creating Pokemon and all the memories that it's given them. So to counter that, the initial group then created something called FU Game Freak, which is them venting.
When we were done this, I was going to try and start that trending because there's no Squirtle.
But okay,
even in Twitter, like on Twitter, we live in different universes.
No one should be there. My favorite part, though.
You follow Trump? He was like, F you, Game Freak.
I actually do not follow Trump.
That's probably fair. But my favorite part about this, and this is one final thing, is that Game Freak Guide trended a few weeks ago, and then the other two stuff happened. And then I guess the people got mad that people weren't upset as upset as they were. And they were saying that Twitter was shadow banned in their tweets. So they started Game Freak Guide 2 to get that to trend.
The sequel?
Yeah, and I'm just like, do you folks... And my favorite part in this is kind of an old internet meme at this point. Is I actually had one or two people I follow who were very big into this. Like, oh, this is awful. I hate this. And opening day. Oh, I got my new Pokemon game. Like, God damn it. I spent 5 months listening to you bitch and moan, and you get it right away.
Of course.
You couldn't even wait a day. You couldn't even be like, I'm boycotting for one day before I go.
Or you finally cave in, like, can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, and then it seems like they're having fun with it, so I'm just like, okay. Okay. But yeah, I will say this much, and I say this about most fandoms in general. I really do not like the Pokemon fandom. I've not liked the Pokemon fandom for several years now. This was just the worst example of them. But they actually go through something similar with almost every generation since I've been on Twitter.
Really?
Because part of it, again, makes sense because Pokemon has this tendency of introducing features that seem really cool and then just kind of dropping them in the next game. And it happens often. But like every generation, it's like, oh, I can't believe they got rid of this. Or, the starters look ugly, or they evolve. Like, this is stupid. Like, the teapot one and this one. Black and White had the ice cream cone, which I personally love. Rotom. There's all this stuff. And then the games come out, people enjoy them. And then they start the cycle again when the next one's announced. So.
Yep. So, Tony, Pokemon, good.
Yes, Pokemon, good. Play Pokemon.
You guys got me wanting to like buy it now, so I could like trade with my girlfriend, like be playing at the same time and shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know if Tony got to that point yet. One of the things they did add is something influenced by Pokemon Go, which I'm actually really stoked by. They added raid battles, so there are battles with like giant Pokemon you can do with friends. It's not like
we could all play together and try and take down a giant Pokemon.
Yeah.
Can we catch that Pokemon?
Yes, yes.
Ooh. That sounds cool.
So, and if you don't have friends, but if you're not fan online because the Switch is a handheld system, and it then gives you NPC characters.
Okay, that's nice. That is a smart addition.
Yeah, and I think a lot of things that get buried in this is like there's a ton of quality of life changes that are made to this game that I enjoy because I don't have time to grind all my Pokemon anymore. So like experience share is on by default, so all your party Pokemon will get experience throughout a battle no matter what. So it's no more of that. Even though to be fair, they kind of got rid of it with X and Y and Sun and Moon, but. No more of that, like, putting your weak Pokemon first, take out a battle, put in the actual Pokemon you want to use.
Oh, yeah, it's time-consuming and annoying, and now you need
yeah.
11 billion potions and lots of trips to the Pokemon to do that.
Or those, like, the one that, Magikarp used to drive me nuts, but also Togepi, because you had to hatch the egg, and the egg has to stay in, like, one of your Pokemon shots, so you couldn't do anything with it, but you had to take a certain number of steps with it before it hatched.
Yes, the step stuff annoyed me.
Yes, and that's, you know, again, one of those features they kind of added and took away, but for the better in that case, like they did the Pokewalker and stuff like that. Anyhow, just one more piece of Pokemon news, because it is actual news, is that Nintendo announced that Pokemon has sold over 6 million copies in its opening weekend last weekend.
So much for the boycott.
I know, that. Yeah. The only reason I don't want to necessarily make fun of them for that is that it could just be front-loaded where a lot of people do buy it and then it just falls off a cliff. But that said, I mean, it's still 6 million copies.
That's a lot of copies regardless.
Yeah, yeah, so it makes it the highest launched game on the Switch. And it makes it the second highest grossing Pokemon launch. But the second best-selling Pokemon launch behind Sun and Moon, which was coming off of... Well, I mean, it was coming in the wake of the Pokemon Go phenomenon, which is just kind of when the series hit its second apex.
We are running late, but Tony, you finished Outer Worlds.
I did. It took me 24 hours, Jeff.
Okay, so... That's about what I said. Like, that's kind of like
that's playing through all the companion quests and doing like basically every quest I could find.
Yeah, that's about what I estimated it would be to do every.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
You know, I really liked the ending. Jeff spoke really highly of the way they like did like the recap thing. I thought that was really cool.
Like, it really like. To me, it has like some emotional impact where you're like, damn, dude, like in the way the music and the narration goes, like
You get a sense of like the impact you've had on everything.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I am not. I just left Monarch, and like I was doing some stuff. I did something on like some space station where I got that for the salvage people. But one of the missions I had on Monarch was really cool. Like it looked like a whole war was going to break out. And I was able to kind of like talk the two sides into not having a war. Like I just love that there's a non-combat solution almost all the time for everything in that game.
What like who are you working with in the game, Tony? Like as far as like
I went with destroy the corporations.
That okay. Makes sense.
Help Doctor Dude.
So you were helping Finney. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Alright.
Yeah.
That's what I did the first time too. But like, yeah, like I really found like it's really cool. I don't want to totally spoil it, but like the last like the cutscene at the very end is like it's like 5 minutes long. And it just kinda goes through a lot of different characters and stories that you are like in the game and tells you kind of what happened.
So like all the stuff you touch.
Yeah, and there's just this kind of like emotional music and really good narration playing over it where you're like, damn, dude, like that's really cool. It's like and it makes you want to play through it again and see like how much you could change that ending, you know. But I just the thing I would say is like you have to actually like start from the beginning again and like really change how you play the game to change that ending significantly. Like just going back and doing more side missions isn't gonna like it'll change little right. things.
You need to make different decisions
yeah.
completely.
Yeah,
which I mean I can see easily how you do that.
Yeah, and it's just I don't know. It's almost like you could like at the very least have like two different games to play through. But I feel like there's even like of course just so many variations between all of them. Like you could do so many weird things like to affect the story in that game.
Yeah, it's. I think it's really, really good. I'm glad Tony liked it. I hope to finish it soon. I'm probably about 10 hours behind where Tony was, though.
Oh no!
I hope to play more of it at some point someday.
Have you? You've not played it? Like, don't you have?
No, I played it. I played like an hour or so, and then I just kind of. Well, I mean, I got busy with working, and I just got sidetracked a lot.
Earl, you need to play that, and they need to play Luigi's Mansion, in my opinion.
He's playing Luigi's Mansion.
No, I said they like you and Tony need to play Luigi's Mansion.
I'm going to play Luigi's Mansion.
Like I'm thinking of like in terms of end of the year shit, like both of those games are like
y'all need to try and play Control.
I bought it. I've downloaded it already. It's ready to go.
I have it here. It's the next thing I'm playing after Star Wars.
Don't forget Death Stranding.
No, I've already forgotten it. It's gone.
I'm thinking about trying to play that if I could find it at a red box.
Just to try it out, at least.
Yeah, also, see what the hell
just
it is.
I already
could feel hatred in my heart for the moment I put it. I just
don't care.
I feel I need to. I need just to sell
you. No, you don't need to. You really don't.
I can see just like wanting to know, but it's like I don't want to know enough to hook up my PS4. So
I already know. I don't need
I mean, I know. Like, I'm not like a super fan of his games that are like gamey and good. Like Metal Gear Solid. I'm like, take it or leave it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about that. So why would I care about this? Like some fucking weird delivery game. I deliver at fucking weird. Work all day. I don't need to.
Exactly.
Deliver. That's fair.
It's a work sim for you. You need to.
Just imagine, Jeff, if you had to like build your own roads and like deliver the mail.
I mean, sometimes.
How's your P monitor, Jeff? Is that working out well for you?
There's a P monitor.
Yeah. Well,
urination is a very important part of.
Yeah. Game. Like your body fluids are very important, like their weaponry and.
Yeah, I was gonna say not just your pee, blood. Because well, your blood apparently taking a dump does create grenades, so you got that going for you.
Shit is something too, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. What a deep,
I mean, awesome game. This is like the cow. You use every part of it. Every part of it.
Yeah.
I don't even hate on it. I've actually tried to stay away from saying anything about the game.
Pete, who's been on the show, and Fozzie, who used to be a co-host on the show, and our friends Javi and Danielle, like, they all seem like they're really into it.
Good for them. I mean,
I'm glad they're liking it.
Not everybody needs to like what I like, but you know.
The best part about that, though, is that none of them are on this show. So we don't have to talk about it in a positive light.
Well, that game looks fucking dumb as shit. I get it. People are excited about it. They're sitting there. They're trying to convince themselves that it was actually good. And on it was like when I bought Tony Hawk 5, and I was like, "Fucking no, man! It's like, it's basically Tony Hawk. Like, it plays like a game. Like, you press buttons.
You know, that does remind me not to take a dig. But Shenmue 3 is out this week as well.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, it is. Holy shit!
So if you want
to
review,
I would love to see people talk about that, or like, I haven't seen any reviews or anything of that.
Well, part of that is because the review copies were until the day after the game came out.
I wonder why that was.
It can't be the 69% it had on.
I was meaning
right
like,
now.
Wasn't Fozzie a big fan of
Shenmue? Fozzie's a huge fan of Shenmue.
Yeah, I always mean to text him like, "Hey man, where's the fucking Shenmue 3 tweets? I don't see you talking it up like."
He's still playing Death Stranding.
Oh God!
I will say this much, and this is a massive spoiler, I guess. I have read some impressions of it and some reviews, and one of the things I find really funny but also disheartening is apparently 3 does not tell it does not finish the story.
No, there's like 17 more of these things,
and that's what people keep on saying. It's like, why would you? Because it's taken 20 years, and he had to go hat in hand to beg people for money. He's not getting 17 more games.
No.
You still have to wrap that up as soon as possible.
You should have made this like, this should have been it.
This should have been.
This never should have happened, but thank you for making this happen. We're going to give you like a proper, like.
Or if you knew, because this game was announced, what, 4 years ago? You could have done like shorts or something in between that to fill in some gaps, but to kind of take this again some 20 years later and be like, oh no, I'm confident I'm gonna get to tell my story, and I'm like, in what world are you there for it?
I mean, I'm more power to him.
No, because you had people who are waiting on this story to continue in this character, and it's like, good on them. But you get chapter 3 and it's like,
this doesn't wrap up shit. Just leaves us with a bunch more questions. Oh, and evidently we need 14 more games.
Yeah.
14 more. It's like we need to run the entire Final Fantasy gambit before we can tell our story. Our story is that deep.
I like how we were trying to be nice, and then we just started dunking on these fucking games.
It's like, that's
horrible. Again, this isn't necessarily making fun of the game.
I dunked on Death Stranding pretty hard.
you did.
No, Death Stranding is out. That's fine. Kojima had a ton of money. That's all his idea. This one, though, it's like someone's like, okay, you know what? You have like a last chance. This is like your goodbye party. What do you have to say to your ex coworkers and your ex friends? It's like graduation day, and you're just like, "I'll see you tomorrow." It's like, yep. There's no closure. There's no like coming together moment. It's like, no, we're continuing. Like, this is normal. This is business as usual.
Keep in touch on the summer.
Yeah, exactly. So when you get Shenmue 4 in like 2050, and the story's not finished, then you're gonna be like, "Oh, there's 16 more chapters to go."
And then I can't wait. Like, Fozzie's gonna be like 70 years old. Shenmue 4, guys, finally here.
I'm gonna get my grandson to play it for me.
I hope they finalize that that brain into an AI consciousness transfer, or I'm never going to be able to finish this.
I can't see the screen anymore, guys. What's happening?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we are running extra late tonight. We're going to push off our most influential games of the decade to next week.
Good thing, because Jeff makes bad decisions.
But I did want to touch on, they had the Game Awards nominees. I don't want to go over the whole list here, but the Game of the Year nominees are Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and The Outer Worlds.
Guys, this thing off the top. It feels weird to have Super Smash Bros. On the list, but then not Star Wars.
Evidently.
It's like the cutoff date thing, probably.
The cutoff date was November. Yeah. So the games had to be out by November 15th, which Star Wars made, but because the reviews, the review copies did not go out early enough, the people who voted on it did not get it onto the list.
I will say this much to Jeff's point. It was super weird to have Smash Brothers on the list, but I was also kind of happy that they kind of used that whole window, because I do feel in years past, like, that November-December window just kind of gets ignored.
Like, it was technically there, but there was no real fucking nominations from there.
Yeah. Because you think of Smash Brothers, it did come out last year. It's weird to be nominated in 2019. Well, it came out. It even came out after the award show last year, so it wouldn't have been. But it's like, yes, aside from the fact that I think it's really weird to nominate Smash Brothers.
No, I was gonna say it proves that I was right last year that I chose Smash Brothers. I was like, look at that motherfucker's still hanging around, coming back.
I think Smash Bros. Is a great game. It's a ton of fun. I don't want to be that guy. I just don't necessarily think this game is a year.
I think it was another weak year. What did we give? Like, what did we give it to? You guys remember?
I can tell you in a second.
See, here's the problem. We don't remember. Year before? Breath of the Wild. I can still tell you that.
Was it God of War? Or Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. You know what?
You know, that's a good choice.
That was probably...
Yeah. I think that's a rock solid choice.
But then, think about that. Maybe that was not a super awesome year either. I think maybe this year was better, honestly. There's games I like more than Spider-Man.
I don't think this year is great. And I think that nominee is kind of proved it. I mean,
yeah, it's fine. It's a fine nominee list.
It's a fine, but it's like nothing there to me shouts like it's going to be remembered in 10 years.
That's possible.
It's like
you know what will be remembered in 10 years? Resident Evil 2. It will be. It will
but
be.
That, that, but not not
that
this
does
one.
Not count though, because Resident Evil 2 is already list, remembered. Is
no, but like is, but... it remembered in 10 years. Like, that game's already 20 years old.
Yeah,
like,
it's already remembered.
It's a new game. I'd say it's a
not though. But when people say Resident Evil 2, like, I don't think this is what that's
they're gonna.
Right, like they're gonna think Resident Evil the series and Resident Evil 2, like,
because even like with Resident Evil, where I think most people would say the remake is superior, you hear Resident Evil, you think the PlayStation Saturn game.
That's the thing. That's the point I was gonna make. If you say Resident Evil to me, it's the GameCube game. Like, that's the Resident Evil
It's the original Resident Evil.
You're gonna have to say the remake.
Gonna be different for different people. Like, you know, I didn't play the original one. I played the first Resident Evil I played was Resident Evil 2 on actually N64. But the one that made me fall in love with Resident Evil was one. Like, I never played. I've played parts of the original, so but I never like, played it
for,
all the way
for me,
through.
Resident Evil was a massive franchise. Like, from
I know, game. Like, my friend, I remember having it, like, and like watching him play it and be like, "Damn, that looks awesome as shit," you know?
Yeah, like I think Resident Evil 2 is a really good game. It's in my top 10, but I don't know that people are going to remember. Not that they're not going to remember Resident Evil remake, but.
They're gonna remember the remake, but like you say, Resident Evil 2, the first thing that's gonna come to mind is the original version.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, I'm talking about the remake.
Well, all I can really say is this: like, I know I will play the remake again, like probably another dozen times in my life.
I will never play the original again. Like,
and that,
I can't
and
go
that's
back.
Fair, but
that, oh, I prefer the original.
I can't go back to that play, like that play style and those graphics.
The tank controls.
Like, no. Okay, if somebody was to say Ocarina of Time to you, which one would you think of?
The original. N64 one.
That I was thinking of Jeff Moshi, but see, and that's my point. There's a GameCube version, there's a Wii version, there's a 3DS version, but you think of the N64 version because that is the original.
Yeah, but I don't think that like carries over to this for me. It doesn't. Like I know.
But
I
I'm saying, but I'm just saying that you understand the thinking, though.
Yeah, but I think this is like no version of Ocarina of Time was as different as Resident Evil 2 is. It, you know, like, dude, come on, it is a new game built from the ground up. That's like,
I mean, it's not a new game built from the ground up where it uses the same characters, scenarios, and story. It had better graphics and it changes some stuff, but it still uses the framework of Resident Evil 2.
Most of it.
Yeah.
I think that adding the what is it, Mr. X chasing you is terrible.
Well, he's in the
original, but he does not chase you around like Nemesis does in 3. Like they basically added the worst part of 3 to 2.
To Jeff's point, I think of the 5 games, Resident Evil 2 would be most memorable. I would say Smash Brothers, but Smash Brothers again is outside of May. Smash Brothers is a franchise that you just think of as Smash Brothers. Like, I don't necessarily think of some are better than others, but I don't think of like Brawl and 4 and Ultimate as like radically different games in my head. Nope. It's like Smash Brothers is always going to be popular. It's like,
I would agree with that. Like, kind of.
I honestly would say people kind of forgot Control already. And I know you two were just talking about it, but like, if like, it's only been out, what, 2.5
months? I think people forgot about it when it released. Like, it did terribly.
Yeah. I think Sakurai it exists, but I think that again that just kind of exists in the shadow of Bloodborne and Demon Souls and Dark Souls. That's just
I don't know that it'll be in my top 10, and I love those games.
Yeah, so. I don't think it had the as like Dark Souls and Bloodborne did.
Yeah, and then Death Stranding. I honestly think, I mean. Our feelings aside, we have not hidden that. It's just like we said at the start of the show. It's just really gonna be icky. Even if it wins, it's gonna be marred in this controversy in the fact that the host of the show is in the game. And I understand it, and you know if reviewers determine that was the best one of the best games of this year, which I'm actually really surprised by because I've seen the reviews of them. It's just really weird because like there's no like even if like Jeff has come out and said he does not pick the nominees, he does not vote on them, but there's sometimes the appearance of corruption is all you need, and the fact that he's not like it's not like he's hidden the fact that he has a huge friendship with Kojima. And he's in the game, and he runs this award show. It looks like a bad combination, a huge conflict of interest.
I wonder which outcome he would like worry about more personally. Like, I think he's so in love with Kojima that he's like, I want them to win.
I will say, of the games, the one I was surprised was kind of snubbed. Was Three Houses.
Yeah, no Fire Emblem on there.
Yeah, but I guess JRPGs are not a big thing.
It did make. There's a strategy game section.
There's a strategy and RPG section. My favorite section to see, which I always think is kind of sad, is I think favorite family or kids game, which is all Nintendo titles.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I remember making this point on my other show ages ago. It's so sad that nobody really knows how to deal with the kids market, and nobody tries anymore. Once we lost, I mean, outside of the Lego games, it's Nintendo and I guess mobile. That's pretty much the extent of it.
Yeah, nobody really tries in that space anymore. Once we lost those mid-tier games, nobody's really attempting in there.
And then, like, once Disney Infinity folded, it was just kind of, Disney Infinity and Sky ended, it's just kind of like, yeah, we're not going to try anymore. And it's a shame, because I think that, and there are, you know, there's Minecraft, and there's Fortnite, which I don't necessarily think appeals to kids. I mean, it doesn't appeal to kids in that it's a kid's game. It does appeal to kids, because I've seen enough of them say it.
Yes.
But, yeah, there are like games that are just like, okay, this is for kids to get into gaming, because it's kind of like that thing where you kind of want to get people into it and then have them graduate to more complex games. And this is not... Actually, it's not just a kid's thing, because... And we're running out of time. I don't want to start on this rant too much. But I'm sure you all had people who played video games before, which you were like, oh, this game's easy to play. And they take up this controller, and it might as well be like an alien spaceship to them.
Oh, yeah.
Because it seems so
My wife's
weird.
Still that way. Yeah. Like, I can't, like, outside of Tetris, like, if you can't use the D-pad, she's like, I don't understand what these sticks are.
And it happens to so many people. And part of that is that for us, we're all around the same age, we got to kind of graduate with that. We started with a D-pad, and then, you know, we added shoulder buttons, and then we added a single analog stick, then two analog sticks, then more shoulder buttons.
I still remember, like, playing, like, a dual analog, like, I think it was Halo for the first time, where I was like, this is stupid. Why would they make the controls like this? Like, I didn't get it. Like, I could do everything with the one stick before, you know? Like,
yeah, it's so weird going back to that GoldenEye Perfect Dark and being like, you said that this is so awesome. I'm like, wait, why is my second stick? Why do I have to move these?
Why is this so, like, clunky?
It's literally now, like...
I don't remember it being like this.
Like, it's just like, now it's like going back to... Yeah, exactly. It's fucking crazy.
But yeah, you don't have those games that kind of teach people the basics anymore, where they can kind of gradually ease into this game that's going to need not only all the buttons on the controller, but you're also going to have to know some combinations. And the one that I think the one that you can get most people to, that I think people still have issues with, is anytime a game uses R3 and L3.
Oh yeah, they don't even know where those buttons are.
No, I will be honest with you. I did not know what those buttons were at first either, because I'm like, wait, there's nothing on this controller marked that.
Those ones are confusing, because it's like, oh, the analog sticks are actual buttons. Like, if you click them, like, it's not intuitive.
No, and it's also not that great to use, because, like, most of the time you're moving with it, you don't really have it centered to press down on it.
Yeah. Weird. Anyway, I guess that's it. We'll wrap this up for the night. We'll be back next week with something most influential games of the decade.
Talk about something.
Yeah. There's not really any new releases coming up, but you guys have other games you picked up, and
well, Shenmue 3's out this week.
Right, so we will have that. There's definitely we'll have. Dude,
I have like six games I just downloaded.
I mean, are you folks looking forward to anything for Black Friday?
Borderlands 3.
Borderlands 3 is the game I'm targeting.
Okay, no pun intended.
Why did you buy it all already?
Because the Xbox deals are live, like on the digital, you know, store.
Yeah,
which is so all that's all.
I was disappointed that the regular version
it's
of
$40
3 is not. Is it on sale? Because
sale.
Their.
Oh, it's going to be $28 at Best Buy.
At Best Buy, and I have $45 in Best Buy credit. So
to be like the prices I got and everything, I thought were fine, and I like not having to switch the disc out. Like,
We'll see how lazy I am.
I was also going to note that I believe that Borderlands is free through next Tuesday as part of Game Pass, like free like weekend.
Okay, thing. So I could try it and
yeah. But yeah, let me know because I have Borderlands, as you folks have known, on both systems, and I've not finished either version yet, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
I will play, like, anytime you guys want to play Borderlands 3, I will play.
All right. In fact, speaking of Borderlands 3 and playing games, I think we should tell Walt to download Borderlands 3.
Should.
Yes.
$40 off the store right now. I want to say I saw that because I remember I was going to tweet to you guys like, oh man, I thought it would be like 30, you know?
Yeah, I was hoping for 30, but 28 sounds like a good, 28, right? At Best Buy?
Yeah. I will send you folks this thing. And I will, I mean, hope, I don't know if we can put the show notes in. It's my Black Friday Bible. I've used it for the last several years. The folks at Cheap Ass Gamer put together a Google document that just kind of it puts together like every sale, and it's not just it's video games, it's consoles, and it's also DVDs and movies, which is what I most use it for. They color coded so you can see which store has the best price for a particular title. It's a great document right now. I think it has something like 225 games on it that are on sale in various capacities.
So for Earl sends that link my way, I will add to the show notes. So
I can send it right now. I was looking at it because, like I said, it's like I can't do it. I'm like, okay, what do I really want? Like, I think Control is going to be $25.
That's a good price.
So I might check that out. I am kind of pissed off at myself because Man of Medea is $15.
That's also a good price.
I knew it was going to be cheap, but I explained the story before. But yes, time to wrap up because bedtime.
Yeah.
Bedtime. All right. We will be back next week with something, probably drinking.
Lots of games.
Oh, that's right. It's drinking week next week.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know if we scheduled this already, but we were going to do the second inductee to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, we will do that the week after because I'm in October. we will talk influential games of the decade. We will probably be drinking a lot. We may have guests.
Sure.
Captain Morgan. Jose.
Vladimir.
Tito, my good friend.
Tito's better than Vladimir. we'll be inviting all of them. And the week after, we will do the second half of our inductions for Hall of Fame. So I'll be putting that stuff out there so we can get the nominees from our listeners and friends so we can get that extra entry in there. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.